Are you interested in the current state of the health industry? Want to know more about nutrition, natural medicine, holistic healthcare, and more? You're in the right place. Welcome to Nutrition Prescription with your host, integrative health and nutrition coach, Angela Atkins. She dishes the dirt on a bunch of health topics with a social consciousness flair. Here's Angela.
Welcome to Nutrition Prescription. This is Angela Atkins of YourHealthUnbound.com, and we're here with a fantastic guest, Christy Miller of Eat, Train, Win. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Christy's background, and then we're going to jump right into our discussion today, which I think you're going to really enjoy. Christy has had corporate careers in both finance and the law, but ultimately it cost her her health and happiness. And after losing her dad to complications to being a workaholic, Christy left the corporate world and went through her own health journey. And now she's out to help many people as she can across the world to lose their weight and help them feel good for life. And there's so much she has to tell you today. I want to get right to it. So welcome, Christy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Angela.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I've heard so much about your work, and I just want to jump right into it and tell everybody about what you do and why you do it. And I know one of the things you talk about is the importance of why. So let's talk about that right off the bat.
Sure. My why, well, first of all, I tell my clients not to focus on how you're going to lose weight. Focus on why you want to lose weight and why you want to get healthy. And this really goes back to my journey. And I was a corporate attorney in the middle of closing an $8.6 billion deal. And the day before it closed, my dad died. And I was daddy's girl. My dad was my everything. He was a complete workaholic, as was I. He was a junk food junkie, as was I. And this was my wake-up call that working 80 hours a week and eating handfuls of peanut M&Ms and Diet Coke and eating French fries every day was not going to serve me. And it was going to put me on the same exact train that my dad was on, and it crashed and there were no survivors. So I knew in that moment that I had to make a change, and I had to make it quickly. I had to make a decision to leave law while the pain was so deep. Because I knew if I went through the mourning process and healed, I wouldn't take advantage of this big lesson that I had just learned, which was quit your job and do something that's going to make you happy and that you can get back on to the path for health.
Yeah, it's so true that many of us have to go through a crisis in order to find our true happiness and to find what's really important. It's a shame, but it's a wake-up call.
It really is a shame. And I think what would make it worse is if we didn't learn from the lessons of our loved ones. And I was out of the law practice within, I think it was 3 to 6 months. In fact, I tried quitting the next week, and the CEO of the company I was working for said, "Oh, you're in pain. Just take the weekend off." And I took the weekend off. And here's what's scary. I came back on Monday and I felt great. But that was because I had 2 days off, and that's not normal for lawyers.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's a shame that it takes really a 2x4 to the head, but it would be worse if we didn't learn the lesson.
Exactly. Exactly. So tell us a little bit more about how you got to where you are now from where you came.
Yeah. I gave my notice, and I basically told the whole world, I'm going to focus on my health and happiness. And what happened is I focused on my happiness, and I smiled more in the next 6 months than I had in 7 years. And I spent more times in bars, and I spent more times in restaurants, and I spent more time buying bigger clothes. So while I said I was going to focus on health and happiness, the health part really didn't come into play other than the mental health. And I was getting happier and happier and happier. And then one day, I just woke up and thought, you are so fat. And this wasn't self-deprecating, so I don't want anyone to think, oh my gosh, you should never talk to yourself that way. This was an analysis of you are not doing what you said you were going to do, and now you are carrying all this extra weight, which cannot make you happy. And I was avoiding going to events because I didn't like the way I looked. I didn't want to keep spending money on bigger clothes. And so in that moment, I recalled from my financial analyst days and from school, there was a theory by Toyota Motor Company called the five whys. And this was developed back in the 40s. And it's a business theory. It had nothing to do with weight loss, but it popped into my head. And the way this theory goes is when an executive would come to someone inside the company and ask to do something. So let's say it was a new car or a new device or whatever. I don't recall those specifics. They would be asked why. And when they gave that answer, they would be asked why to that answer. And they would keep going. And they called it the five whys to really get to the root issue of, is this a good project? Should we approve it, et cetera? So I did that with myself and started out with, why do I want to lose weight? Well, because I want to fit in my skinny jeans again. Okay.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, that's a little bit shallow and vain, but let's keep going because that's not a good enough reason. That wanting to fit in my skinny jeans is not going to make me put down Ben and Jerry's. It's just not. So then I would ask myself, well, why is it important to fit in my skinny jeans? Well, when I look good, I have more confidence. Okay. And it doesn't matter if these reasons are outlandish or they're disconnected. It's whatever you're feeling and thinking in your mind, that's what matters. So when I look better, I have more confidence. Okay. Why is it important to have more confidence? Because when I'm more confident, I pursue the actions and the goals that I want to attain in life. Okay. Well, why is that important? And you keep going and keep going. And it's called the five whys, but you want to keep going until you get to a reaction that is so guttural and so emotional that it brings goosebumps or tears or something. And mine was, and this really did get me in tears, pretty much curled up in a ball. Mine was, I am so disappointed that I truly didn't learn by the lesson my dad gave me.
Yeah, it's pretty sad that we have to go through these experiences, like I said before, but your whys are like peeling away the onion skin and you get it down to the point that the acid is burning your eyes and you start crying. Well, that's an internalization that you're doing with your five whys. And I think that's a great exercise. It also takes a lot of self-realization. You have to be, I have to have self-awareness in order to do that. So how do you use that with your clients?
Yeah, it's hard. And you really nailed it on the head that you have to have self-realization. And addition to that, you have to be willing to get emotional. And one of the challenges with weight loss is so much of extra weight is tied to emotional eating. And the emotional eating is because we don't want to feel our feelings. So I may have a new client that has 80 pounds to lose, and I'm asking them their five whys, or for me, it was probably 28 whys until I finally hit it. And they just keep saying, I don't know, I don't know. So we slowly just go through this process, and it could be an hour coaching call to get to their why. But what is so worth it and what my clients understand is when you know your why and it is emotional, you will break through obstacles. You will make better decisions. You're never going to be perfect. I'm not perfect.
No one is.
Nobody's perfect, but you will, you know, your weight loss will be so much easier because you know why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And it sounds so simple, but it's really deep. And that three-letter word of why is like fuel on the fire to keep you going.
Right. The why actually pertains to what your deepest heartfelt feelings about yourself really are that we don't really address in an everyday life. We kind of squish them down, hold them secret so nobody else sees them. And a lot of times we don't see them either because we're trying to hide them from ourselves, because if we really got in touch with them, it would, might force us to take action. And the action is scary because a lot of people say, if I take action and fail, I'll never do it again. Well, I always try to look at it, take action. It's not failure. It's a lesson learned. It didn't work the way you tried to do it. So is there another way to do it? And that is the lesson that you have to learn with it.
I love that. And I don't remember the person who said the quote, and I'm not even going to get the quote right, but you know, there's the best lessons come from failure.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, we don't get stronger when we are walking on a flat surface. Mm-hmm. We get stronger when we're walking uphill, you know, figuratively or literally. And so when we fail, I say embrace failure because it is such a powerful and strong lesson.
Right. I think it's the Winston Churchill quote about failure isn't final. It has to do, and I'm going to really screw the quote up totally, but it has to do with, it's the next step of learning, basically. Mm-hmm. So I agree 100% in that. So tell me a little bit about how you visualize the new you.
Yeah, this is really interesting because astronauts do it, athletes do it. Even Jim Carrey has gone on record of saying that he visualizes everything, which I cannot imagine the visualization in his head. It almost sounds a little bit scary to me. But I like my clients to really start from the very beginning, start visualizing not only how they're going to look at goal, but how they're going to feel, how they're going to stand, how they're going to walk. And I was with a client yesterday and she said to me, this is going to sound creepy, but last time we went to lunch together and you were walking in front of me, I was looking at you and the way you walk and thought, that's how I used to walk. That's how I want to walk. That's how I'm going to walk when I lose weight. And I said to her, no, you're going to start walking that way now. And she looked at me, you know, with this kind of confused look of, can I really do that now? Isn't that a goal thing? And I'm like, no, I told her, I want you to start visualizing yourself every morning before you get out of bed, visualize yourself walking the way that you saw me walking. And what's funny is I didn't even know that I walk a certain way. So, you know, she picked up on it. And so she's going to start every morning before she gets out of bed, visualizing this walking and start walking taller and leading with her heart and being open. And I just, when we can visualize the end goal, it's almost like having a vision board with us that's in our head all the time.
Well, I think if you use visualization like you do practice, it's the same thing. If you visualize it before you do it, you have the mental practice. And like with exercising, you don't just jump in and do the highest reps for the longest time. You have to work up to it. And so that's, you practice the exercise, you practice getting your muscles built up. You do that, the mental exercise and practice to make the effort to get to your goal. And once you visualize it clearly enough, it becomes something that actually you take on yourself. You internalize it and it becomes a habit. That's really what it's all about.
Absolutely. And some of the other things that I have them visualize is how much energy do you have? How much dexterity? How much strength? How much confidence, pride, what I call badassery. You know, it's not just how you're going to look, but how will you eat? How will you move? How will you play? How will you relax? And if you start visualizing all those aspects of a healthy living, like is your relaxation now a quiet walk around the neighborhood in your visualization, is it a quiet walk around the neighborhood versus right now your relaxation is laying on the couch watching the boob tube?
Right.
You know, you start looking at all these things that the healthy and happy people do, visualize yourself doing them, and you're just programming your subconscious mind to really start taking those actions without making a concerted effort to do it.
So what you're saying is it's okay to set the bar low, that you don't have to have these lofty goals. You can start low and slow, basically.
Exactly. And it's so funny when I tell my clients to set the bar low, they look at me like, I'm paying you how much to do what? Because for instance, you know, especially with women, we are so stuck on the all or nothing attitude. And I describe all or nothing as a set of twins. It's all or nothing and her witchy sister perfectionism. And those two witches will ruin every goal, every relationship, every life if you let them invade your psyche, your spirit, your mood. And so I ask them to set the bar low, really, really low, so that they can start developing their stick-to-itiveness muscle. And so they can start gaining confidence that as they create a new healthy habit, that they're going to actually do it. So for instance, one of the things I say with my clients is I encourage them to get a Fitbit or some other device that counts steps, because I myself, when I got mine, I found that one day, it was a long day, I was at my desk all day long, I had like 1,200 steps. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is horrible. So it's a really good monitor. But what happens is they get a Fitbit or some other device, and because all of the media out there is 10,000 steps, 10,000 steps, 10,000 steps, they set this goal for themselves at 10,000 steps. And the first couple of days, they're getting 4,000 and they're so upset and they're a failure and it's too big a leap to go to 10. Mm. So I asked them, I'm like, can you set it at 3? Can you set it at 4?
I agree with you 1,000%.
Yeah.
That's why I think go slow and start low, because if you don't, you're bound to failure. And once you get in the mindset that you're going to fail, you won't want to try again. So set yourself up for success. Start at 2,000. Start at whatever is reasonable for you. And every day, add a little bit to it. And if you don't make it one day, again, it's not a failure. It's one day. Start tomorrow. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And I have a daily tracker that my winners get. And I call them winners because we're Eat, Train, Win. So they're not called clients. They're my winners.
Good.
And it's just each month a new one comes out and it's, you know, 30 days with space to write what you want to track. And I tell them, so for some of them, it's, you know, 64 ounces of water or 100 ounces of water, you know, getting to bed early enough. Maybe brushing my teeth is something they want to track, or take vitamins. And I always tell them, if you don't get the smiley face that day, or if you don't get the check mark or the gold star, don't focus on that black mark. Focus on all the other things that you got. And that's why I tell them, I said, put a couple things on your tracker that are so silly, you can't not meet that one. Like maybe one of them says, wake up. so that you can check it, you know, because it goes back to being in school. We like getting the gold stars. We like getting the smiley faces, the pat on the back.
Sure.
And while we're always open to giving everyone else praise, how about a little bit of self-love?
Exactly.
And gold stars for ourselves.
Yeah. And self-love, again, to a point I know that we both agree on, just is not selfish. It is, I think, self-preservation.
Absolutely. And this, I tell my clients that self-love, this is where the rubber hits the road and the fat hits the floor. you know, it's almost impossible. I'm not going to say there's no way, because I'm certain that there are people out there that have lost weight without self-love. But in what I have seen, it is nearly impossible to lose weight and keep it off without developing your self-love.
I agree.
You know, there's some great theories in business that anytime you're stuck in your business, it means that you need more self-development. So if you're not confident to go ask a joint venture partner to join you, you probably need some more self-development to build up your confidence. Well, I think it's the same thing with weight loss. And our weight is so directly tied to how we feel about ourselves. And the foods that we eat is so directly tied to our inner critic and what she is telling us. So if our inner critic is always telling us that we are fat, ugly, lazy, you're not worth it, you don't deserve it, and all of that, we're going to believe that and we're going to keep eating food that is really unhealthy for us. But if we Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I'm in agreement with you because I really think the way we think about ourselves frames our entire life. I mean, it's not an external thing. I mean, other people see in you what you're seeing or what you're portraying. If you're down on yourself, other people are going to pick up on that. And then it gets reinforced. Mm-hmm. So you've got to come at it from the internal. You've got to take what you're feeling about yourself to be more positive and project that. And then other people project it back to you.
Right. It's so true. And you know, we just have to remember that, like you said, self-love is not selfish. And the thing is if we don't love ourselves fat, we're not going to love ourselves thin.
Exactly.
And too many people think that the only reason why they're not happy is because they're overweight. And that is so not true. The weight is never the issue. The weight is a symptom of something else that's not working in our lives, whether we are longing for companionship or we need more respect in our lives or we're feeling lonely or we're angry. The weight gain is a symptom. And my 31 pounds was clearly a symptom of what was going on in my life. And when I could really figure out what the symptom was, what it was telling me, I was able to change. And for me, my symptom was I kept eating the junk food even after I left my, you know, very successful law practice. I was still eating the junk food. I was still eating the crap that I said I was going to give up. And I realized I was subconsciously trying to connect to my dad through those foods because we always shared a root beer float. Mm-hmm. We always ate French fries together. He was the candy-aholic. I mean, I grew up going to his office and diving face first into the M&M jar. You know, and then having him take me to the secret place in the office where they had all the candy that went in the vending machine. Like that was our thing. So when I realized that I'm gaining all this weight, you know, and it was to the tune of 31 pounds, I was trying to connect to my dad and his memory by eating the junk food that we shared together. And I'm getting chills saying this right now. When I figured that out and learned different ways to connect to my dad, boom, like magic weight loss secret number one, I'm good to go.
I agree. You have hit the nail on the head. It is all internalized stuff that makes us overeat, emotionally eat. And so many people that my clients, especially when they talk about, oh, I've tried this program or I've gone on this, you know, brand name diet food or whatever, and they're still not losing weight. I said, because you're not dealing with the issue. You're trying to get something else to impose upon you a structure rather than internalizing what you need and giving your body what it needs. It's never going to work. Nothing out there is going to work. It's like, again, I'm so bad at naming names. I am almost angry, I should say, at Oprah for her whole Weight Watchers thing. You know, I can eat anything I want. Well, that's telling people the wrong thing. You have to learn to eat what's right for you, not just anything in the world that's out there, because there's a lot of crap food out there. There is, you know, too much processed food, too much chemically added stuff in everything. That's not helping people. You need to bring it back to it's a personal journey. It's finding out your why, finding out how to get to the root of what you need. Like you said, you had to find it out from your connection with your dad. And when that light bulb went off, it is an easy journey to losing weight. I know I did that with myself. Mine was more related to the fact that I had gotten very ill. My thyroid stopped working. I gained nearly 50 pounds. It was like, boom, in months, I had all this extra weight. And, you know, I'm only 5'3". So 50 pounds looks tremendous on a small body frame. And I felt not myself. And I lost myself in that process. And then I got sick with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, all these other things adding up. And it isn't until I took back myself and say, okay, I need this to stop. Not because of all the other reasons, not because I look fat or I feel like people look at me differently, but because I'm not me anymore. I've lost myself in there. And a lot of people don't want to see that. They think, oh, I've gotten older, and they want to excuse everything away. Whereas if you take it internalized and you say, what's the best for me? And stop listening to all the noise. It doesn't matter what Oprah says. I love Oprah. Don't get me wrong. I think Oprah's a wonderful woman. She started out in Baltimore, which is, you know, near my hometown. I'm happy that she's gotten successful. But please don't tell people they can eat anything they want and still lose weight, because you're missing the point. The point is, it's different for every person.
Exactly.
You need to bring it back to that.
Yeah. And I love that you brought up Oprah, because when the announcement came out that she was investing in Weight Watchers, I actually wrote a blog. The title was something like, Why Oprah Shouldn't Have Married Weight Watchers.
I love it.
And really, it was all about, oh, come on, Oprah. All the chefs that you've had, all the personal trainers that you've had, do you really think we're so stupid to believe that by counting points, this is your magic that you never knew existed before, and that this is going to be what's working for you? I'm sorry, I call BS.
I'm with you.
You know, it's all about the mental aspect. And I actually started my weight loss journey with a national company that delivers food to your house. And I became so successful.
Been there, done that too,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I became so successful in my weight loss that I appeared on QVC 14 times for them. I did infomercials, commercials, et cetera, et cetera. And through that process, I was surrounded by 60 other success stories that I'm still in contact with today. And I can tell you about maybe six of us, if even that, are still at our goal weight.
Wow.
Why? Because the answer does not come in a box of food.
Agreed.
And for those of us that did mental work on our own, because it wasn't part of the program, the ones of us that did the self-discovery, the self-realization, the self-love, that took scary steps such as throwing out the fat clothes. Mm-hmm. We are the ones that have succeeded. We are the ones that have remained in maintenance 6 years later. And when I tell my clients to donate or alter or throw out their fat clothes, they get so scared. And I tell them, if you're keeping them, you're subconsciously telling yourself that it's okay if you gain weight, you've got clothes to wear. That's not okay. Gaining weight should be painful.
Yeah, that's a fallback.
Yes, gaining weight should be, oh my gosh, I have to go spend money on clothes because my clothes don't fit. It has to hurt.
Right.
It has to be a wake-up call of, I'm slipping, and let me go place a phone call to a coach or some support or Overeaters Anonymous. You know, let me go get the support I need to get back on track, as opposed to just going to the next section in my closet, because I know I had 4 different sizes in my closet.
Wow, that's more than me. I only had 3.
Yeah, well, mine was all in my core. Like I looked like a peanut M&M. I had it was not a good look. I had the skinny arms and the skinny legs, and 31 pounds was between my neck and my legs, my hips. Yeah.
Well, we could talk all day. I know that. But I want you to tell me more, actually tell all the listeners about your Eat, Train, Win Summit, because I know that's coming up in April, and I want everyone who's listening to join in, because it's going to be fabulous. You've got great guests, not to mention that I'm going to be on it.
But exactly.
I want you to tell us more about it.
Yeah, over the past several weeks and continuing into next week, I have been having interviews with over 20 experts in the field of weight loss. So I'm talking to weight loss coaches, chefs, nutritionists, personal trainers, mindset coaches, and all sorts of experts that are giving their best tips for weight loss made simple in your 50s and beyond. And I have targeted it to, you know, 50s and beyond, because I am 52. And before I went on my weight loss journey, all of my older friends, and I mean just a couple years older, that were already in menopause ahead of me, they looked at me and they said, honey, just accept it. That's as good as it gets. And I was like, Oh, them there, fighting words. I am now on a mission to prove you wrong. Like, that was a challenge. You threw down the gauntlet. And so I want women and men in my age group to know that it's never too late. But for your listeners who may be thinking, well, I'm 30 or I'm 40, tune in anyway, because all of these strategies work at any age. That's and true. This may give you a little bit extra incentive to not get to your 50s. And wake up one day and say, oh, now I need to lose 80 pounds, 100 pounds, 150 pounds, or even 20 pounds. Do it early. It earlier than I did.
It's all about prevention. I mean, be proactive, prevent the weight gain, prevent the chronic illness. That's what I tell my clients. Don't wait till it happens to you. Prevent it. And people say, well, my family has this history. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You can prevent it if you lead the right lifestyle. And I think you're going to find, listeners, when they tune in, are going to find that there are going to be a lot of information that they're going to be able to help them live that healthy lifestyle starting today. They won't have to wait. They'll get that information right from the summit. So when does that start, Christy?
The summit starts airing on April 3rd, and it's a free summit. We'll be delivering one or two expert interviews each day. And it's just going to be so much great information that I know your listeners will enjoy.
That's great. And I'll make sure to post the link to the summit underneath this podcast. And I want to thank you, Christy. This has been fabulous. Is there anything you're offering to our listening audience?
Yes. Some of the points that we've touched on today come from my guide called The 7 Keys to Creating the Winning Weight Loss Mindset. And this will also be a free download that Angela, I think you can also put the link there for them.
Absolutely will.
Excellent.
So I encourage you not only to attend Christy's Eat, Train, Win Summit beginning April 3rd, but to download her free offer. And as I said, the links will all be right below this podcast. And you're going to be able to download the podcast and listen to it over and over again because Christy offered such great tidbits. It's all about getting real with yourself, and truly she's good at what she does, and I encourage you to listen to it as many times to get those finer points out of it. So thank you, Christy. Thank you once again for being here. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
All righty. So thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you'll join in again on the next Nutrition Prescription podcast. This is Angela Atkins saying goodbye until next time.
Thanks so much for listening to Nutrition Prescription with your host, Angela Atkins. Find her online at yourhealthunbound.com, Twitter at Angela C. Atkins, and Facebook.com/AngelaAtkinsHNCoach. We'll see you next time.